Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. How you doing? I hope you've had a good week. It's been eventful for sure, hasn't it? So much going on everywhere at the moment. Christmas trees already up everywhere you look. I got quite a shock actually. It was about 2 weeks ago I went into a coffee shop and there was already a Christmas tree. No doubt some of you, particularly if you've got teenagers, will have been watching I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here. Honestly, I could not be less interested in that if I tried. But I happened to pass the telly when the kids had it on and caught Boy George tapping, doing EFT. So that was a treat. And obviously, those of us who are trained in EFT and love the work have used that to our advantage across social media, I think it's fair to say. We're talking about emotional freedom technique, of course, where you tap on certain meridian points. And obviously, it's been helping George to calm right down. He's always been interested in that stuff. I used to sing with George many years ago, not in the Culture Club days, but later when he had his own record label and we're doing various bits and pieces together. He's such a talented, I really think he's a little bit underrated, to be honest. Fantastic singer and great songwriter. And I remember we used to have some chats then, and he told me that he'd been and done a week-long silent retreat. And I remember saying, wow, I am so impressed. I could never keep my mouth shut for a week. And he said it was really hard. But yeah, of course, a lot of people do that kind of stuff now. So I think he's always been into that sort of spiritual side of stuff for a lot of years. And yeah, great to see him tapping. Talking of tapping, we have started our Tapping Into Self-Care online coaching program. So we've just kicked off from that. And so using tapping to talk about how we can focus on resources and finding self-care for ourselves. Because as I've said so many times on this podcast, once you ditch the booze, then it's time to start to look at other things. You know, start to look at how you can reduce the anxiety, how you can focus on what you want for your life, how you can step into that new sober identity and live your purpose and set your boundaries and really whatever it is that's going on for you, we can start to look at it, can't we? And I've certainly been reminded recently, I think I probably said last week, but I've really been reminded recently that I just did not take care of myself when I was drinking. I think I mentioned before that I've got some pretty horrible dental work coming up. And it's just made me realise, if only I'd done this stuff sooner. But how could I, when I was in that space of, oh, anything that feels slightly uncomfortable, even if it's a potentially inflamed tooth, oh, just numb it down with a glass of wine, that will sort it. And of course, it was doing the opposite over many years. So yeah, self-care is kind of the theme at the moment. And one of the most simple ways that all of us can just take back some energy, just restore our own energy and feel more grounded, is to get out into nature. And I know that always sounds a bit glee, you know, oh, well, you're lucky enough to live near a woodland. Well, you know what? It doesn't have to be a woodland. It can be really anything, just to get some green space. And on that note, I thought it'd be lovely to share with you the interview that I did with Cheryl Rickman. Now, I've interviewed Cheryl a couple of times. She's just such a fabulously uplifting person. She's a positive psychologist, and she has written so many amazing self-help books, really lovely books like The Happiness Bible, and she's written a book called a colouring book for grown-ups called The Flourish Colouring Book. She's also written The Little Book of Serenity. That was a lovely one. And of course, her latest book is all about trees, tree glee. I mean, seriously, what is not to love? That whole idea of just getting out into nature. Cheryl, it's so fantastic to talk to you. You're so prolific. I love your books. And this one, oh man, it's just honestly, it's such a beautiful book. Tree Glee, How and Why Trees Make Us Feel Better. Tell us how you came to write this book, because it's not quite the same as your others. But, you know, what brought this about?
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, it was such a joy. As you know, as someone who loves nature, it was just such a joy to go and research it and find out more, because I knew the impact that trees have on me and just nature generally going outdoors. You know, from the other books I've written, I knew the benefits of being in green space, but I really wanted to understand why and get to some of the science behind it. But the way it came about was I'd kind of had all these different experiences. So for example, my daughter went to forest school, not all the time. She just sort of did it, so I think it was, this is going back nearly a decade now, but she just sort of, when they were starting out forest schools, and yeah, I just reading up on the benefits of letting children play outside. Obviously, you know, generational change.
Yeah.
You know, reading the statistics about the fact that I think it's prisoners get more exercise, outdoor exercise, than children.
Yeah, it's astonishing, isn't it? I think didn't I read that you said something like the average adult spends something like 90% of their time indoors?
Yeah, it's about 93. Yeah, we are now.
Wow.
We're not only an urban species, because sort of so much of the world we officially became urban species, I think it was in 2000, and 4 billion people live in cities. So not only that, but also, yeah, 90 to 93% of time is spent indoors. I think 6% is in cars. So much time spent in front of a screen. I think it's even more time is spent, it depends on your job, obviously, but more time is spent in front of screens than sleeping.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy.
Oh, my goodness. So, if only I could say I wasn't guilty of all of that.
I know. And I'm an author. I sit in front of a screen often. But I think the key is to just get outside, even for 20-minute periods. Mm. And, you know, I ended up writing this book because I knew this, the statistics to do with children, and I know that I think it was a few years ago now, about 4 or 5 years ago, I ran a campaign called Operation Outdoor for my local school. So we built loads of, did loads of fundraising. We did a little festival called Tree Fest, and we raised money to build outdoor classrooms. Mm. So that rather than just the four walls of the school and sitting down for long periods of time indoors, some of the lessons could be taken outdoors. And really, children really loved that. I mean, the novelty of it obviously was great, but that I think was the kickstarter to my journey towards writing this. And then we had the opportunity to, rather than buy our dream house, we bought a bit of land and it had a bit of woodland. So I then had to learn quite quickly a bit more about how to manage trees, and that was fascinating. But yeah, the main sort of driver was the scary statistics that we just spoke about, but also just knowing that trees are, and nature and water are out there, you know, free of charge. You know, you can go to the gym and you can do all these other things that cost money, which is great, but you know, your breath and nature are out there for free.
Absolutely. I know that a couple of years ago, I think about 3 years ago, I went on a retreat. Hmm. And it was fabulous. It was you know, sort of in the countryside, and they offered us a forest bathing session on this retreat. I looked at the kind of the itinerary, and it said, you know, meet at wherever at 1 o'clock or something like that, and it said finishes 5 p.m. and I remember thinking, blimey, that's a long time. I mean, I like trees and everything, but come on. Actually, oh my God, it was a proper forest bathing experience. Yes. It was fantastic. It will all be the stuff you know. But I got to, I think, probably for the first time in my life, properly connect with trees, properly connect. So you actually have that conversation with a tree.
Yeah. You know,
people who haven't done any of this will be thinking, what is she on about now? But seriously, it was amazing. Anyway, so tell us a bit about trees then, and how, you know, the strapline, how and why trees make us feel better.
How can they make us feel better?
Yeah, so many different ways. I think it was William Wordsworth said, trees provide relief from the fever of the world. Mm. So obviously that's the first part of it. It's that escape from what we're used to. We're used to being indoors now. We don't spend time in nature like we used to, like our ancestors do. So it can just provide that relief. But like you just touched on there, forest bathing, I mean, that is immersing yourself in nature. And for many hours. But even just 20 minutes has been shown, sort of 2 hours a week, if you added sort of 20 minutes a day, in green space, it just does our heads and our hearts good. So it's kind of like this natural neural medicine. There's so many different elements to it. So the mental and physical benefits, you know, trees release these essential oils called phytoncides, which we kind of, we inhale them if you're walking through woodland, but also they sort of go in via our pores as well. And what they are, they're actually trees actually are, it's their defense mechanism. So they're sort of pushing them out there, we breathe them in. And what that does, it actually reduces stress and our production of stress hormone cortisol. So
how cool is that?
It's brilliant. It's just like, oh, here's just a little free tool that can help automatically de-stress
I'll
you
something out and it will make you feel better.
It's amazing. So not only, you know, they give us the oxygen that we breathe in, but they also help, you know, do that. They calm our nervous system and heart rate. They, you know, you can improve your concentration and memory. Even there's been studies about sleep. People who've spent they've made them walk in an urban setting and then walk in a tree-based setting and slept longer and deeper. Other like physical stuff, like reducing blood sugar levels and even boosting cardiovascular health, and even stuff like a study a long time ago actually showed that even looking out of a hospital window at a tree, at a view of trees, so you weren't even actually outdoors with them, meant that you recovered quicker from operation and all amazing. These kind of things. But what I wanted to do was go a bit deeper. So we know that, you know, it slows us down, it calms us, but why does it do that? And obviously you have to read the book to get the real finer points, but there's a couple of really interesting things. For example, like the color green is really comforting to us because it's in the middle of our spectrum of sight, but also when we see trees, it's sort of our evolutionary wiring kicks in. Because it reminds us, shelter. It reminds us, they're safe. They give us comfort because they remind us that they provide shelter. But also, often if we saw green or trees, it could mean that there might be water nearby. And if there was water nearby, there was food. So it's kind of like our survival, our ancestral memory of survival. Yeah. When we see trees, we just feel comforted. And I love that. I love that we've got this inbuilt memory that remembers that.
So, I think also that just actually being around trees, particularly if you are in a forest or you're near like amazing big trees, it does give you that sense of perspective again. It's like, okay, these guys are really solid and really important and I'm quite little and insignificant.
it does give you that sense of perspective. It also can, when you do connect with them, it can give you a sense of belonging, like you are part of this planet. And I think that was really helpful for the pandemic. During the pandemic, I think people connected with nature and found that a comfort. And it also, I mean, as part of the book, I did three sections. So it's appreciation, so we appreciate what they do for us, connection and ways to connect, and then reciprocation, how we can actually give back to the trees that give us so much, and that sort of cyclical kind of relationship that we can have. They are awesome. And awe, of course, as I've written in previous books, awe is an amazing positive emotion. that makes us feel good. But even there's been studies that have shown people have more pro-social behaviour and are kinder when they've been exposed to awe, whether it's a sunset or gazing up at a big tree, compared to looking up at tall buildings. They've done all these studies.
Absolutely.
It just makes us feel good in so many ways. It really is incredible.
So just give us a couple of, a tip or two from each section then. Obviously appreciation, go and appreciate trees, I guess, is it in a nutshell, isn't it? Actually go and immerse yourself in the wonder of them.
Yeah, and also the sensory side of things. So obviously, what we tend to do is we live busy lives. So we think, oh, yeah, I'll go for a walk. So we'll take the dog, or we'll put our headphones in, or or go with friends, which is good. I mean, I do advise going on woodland walks with friends. But also, if you can go on your own somewhere where there's trees and really connect by sort of paying attention to what you can smell as much as what you can see, that kind of woody, lemony aroma is comforting. There's even something I've done. You can actually buy this Japanese hinoki cypress oil, which is basically like the smell of pine forests. For me personally, I definitely I found it as helps me sleep, or helps me get to sleep. I think it's because it's that similar scent that is comforting. So there's been studies about that, but also the Mycobacterium vaccae that's in soil, which is like the woodland floor, you kind of get, especially after it's rained.
Yeah.
The chance to go for a woodland walk after it's rained is often the best time, because you really get that smell, and that releases oxytocin and serotonin and all the kind of good feel good, anxiety decreasing, well-being boosting things. But appreciation, so many things apart from just kind of thinking about or finding out about everything we get from trees. So it's not just the wood and the timber that builds houses and everything else, but even things like aspirin, lots of drugs to help with all kinds of diseases come from trees. So sort of when you sort of unearth how much they give to us, and then also things like noise pollution, and living in a city, if you have urban trees lining your streets, actual pollution, air pollution, they're really prolific at taking all of that. So I think we all know that gratitude is good for well-being, and if we can focus on what we have rather than what we don't have or what we need, taking a few minutes every now and again. I write a list of delights, of just ordinary things that delight me, whether it's a softness.
Yeah, I love that. Blessings lovely.
Just the smell of coffee in the morning or whatever. But
that's one of the, just as an aside there, just to interrupt you, sorry. I think when people are first making behaviour change, when they're stopping drinking, for example, and they feel really very raw and very chaotic, and their thoughts are just constantly on what they can't have, we've all been there. It's so powerful just to, as you say, just focus on the little things, focus on the delights, actually start to enjoy little things. And at the beginning, you have to kind of force yourself, it doesn't come naturally to us. Once we get into the habit of it, it's incredible. And we can actually go through a walk, go for a walk and notice, a bird high up in a tree or whatever, which probably when we were drinking, kind of walking along feeling really pissed off that we're hungover, annoyed with ourselves, you don't notice those little things. I do think it is those little things that make such a massive difference.
And when you do, I mean, I'm sure you'll have, people who listen to your podcast will find when you if you give up a habit, you know, whether it's overeating or drinking, and you just have that sense of energy, that renewed sense of energy, you also do then notice more, I think. I think it just kind of your head feels clearer. So you just notice the beauty of very small things that are just ordinary. And that's really important, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. What about the connection piece then?
Connection, you know, apart from sort of going out into the woodlands and connecting, something I've done, well, obviously forest bathing. If you can get a chance to try forest bathing, which is usually a good 2 hours minimum. Obviously, not everyone has the time to do this, but I would definitely recommend it because, like you say, that is a deep connection.
Yeah, really
to the tree. But for me, something that I found when I've been running kind of forest bathing exercises is this kind of sense of breathing with a tree, where you kind of literally go and find a tree and just stand next to it or sit down next to it. And also, no one really needs to know what you're doing because all you're doing is sitting down or standing by a tree. But you then can sort of literally go with the cycle of breath. So sort of inhale in, but really consciously think, oh my gosh, I'm actually breathing in the oxygen that this tree is giving out. And then when I breathe out, it's taking in the carbon and storing that. And that's really helpful for the environment.
Right.
And just sort of going through the motions of inhaling and exhaling.
So you're literally giving and receiving, which is fabulous. Yeah.
Which is this symbiotic relationship. And you just feel, just even just doing that for, I don't know, even a few minutes, you do just feel this connection with this tree, which is really good. And then you can kind of develop a kind of bit of a sense of gratitude and, you know, thank the tree, even if you're doing it in your head and you're not sort of saying it out loud. You don't literally have to hug a tree, although you know, it does give you that oxytocin boost. But yeah, that's one way. And the other thing is this noticing. So I've been doing this 100 days of trees hashtag, which is a long time, so I don't expect everybody to do that, but even like 7 days. And what you can do is you can either think of a prompt, whether it's texture or color or like the color yellow or whatever it is, or you can think about how your day's gone and go and find a tree or something to do with a tree that connects to what's happened. So say if you've had a bit of a blustery day just generally because it's been all up and down, you could sort of take a photo of trees blowing in the wind or whatever. So what that's done for me, because I'm doing over 100 days, is it's helped me kind of record and reflect what's been going on in my own life, but also tie it to what's happening in the outside world, and gets me outside and noticing a lot more. So that's something we can do. And the other thing is the sit spot. If you sit for long enough, just very perfectly still, it's something that that we used to do, and different cultures have done this. But nature at first, kind of the birds fly away and you know you hear their warning signals or there's somebody there. And then eventually, if you sit there long enough, they kind of just carry on, and then you'll notice things that wouldn't have happened, you know, when you're just going about your day. So that's another thing. But yeah, there's lots of different things. And also in the book, I talk about I've spoken to you about before in terms of positive psychology, there's the pillars of well-being, which I've obviously called branches of well-being.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, there's different things we can do for each of those, whether it's to develop awe and gratitude, or to develop our relationships with others, like sitting around a campfire and storytelling and going camping in woodlands and things like that, and even doing vitality, you know, actually going and doing tai chi or yoga or sort of doing a workout or going for our run in woodlands, you know, because you're getting a double whammy, because you're breathing in the essential oils and so on. So all of these different things, there's lots of different ways we can connect more deeply.
And then when you talk about the reciprocation, I mean, I know we've touched on it to a little bit, but what about the whole, you know, sustainability? I mean, am I right in thinking that, I mean, trees really kind of sort out the whole climate change kind of stuff or climate control, rather, almost on their own, don't they? If we just let them get on with it, I think, you know, often, I don't know if people realise sometimes that, you know, you get sort of floods and all kinds of issues in areas where trees are just kind of chopped down willy-nilly.
Yeah,
you know, they're so important and on so many levels, aren't they?
Yeah, and you don't realize, I mean, like you say, flooding, that's caused because trees have been cut down. They can stop flooding. Obviously we know all about the sort of the how they store carbon, and that's why it's really important. I definitely find in life, in every area, balance is so important. And so it also is true that balancing the protection of trees with the planting, because obviously there's lots of initiatives at the moment. The Queen's Green Canopy, for example, is one where it's all about sort of planting trees for Her Majesty and in Her Majesty's honour, and it was for the Jubilee. But so there's lots of local kind of tree planting initiatives, but obviously making sure that you do that correctly and have.
You've probably heard of Tree Sisters, have you?
Yeah, Tree Sisters
are
great.
They do amazing work. Yeah,
really, really good initiative. There's lots of different initiatives, and that's great to get involved with because of it boosts your relationships, and supportive relationships is good for well-being, but you're giving back. But as well as that, and there are lots of things to remember with planting trees, like planting during October to March, making sure there's a diversity of trees you're planting, and making sure they're native and that they're not too close together, not sheltered by other trees. But the other thing is protection of the trees that are already there. And so not just going, oh, that's blocking my light a little bit, I think we're going to chop that down. You know, actually protecting these trees, that because it does take a long time. It's like a good 40 years before a tree really starts to mature. So, you know, that's quite a long time if you're going to plant a tree, depending on the type of tree. But really protecting our ancient woodlands and making sure we don't just chop them down, like you say, willy-nilly. They do so much good. And then there's loads of other things we can do to reciprocate, like in terms of our consumption. You know, obviously we need trees for certain things like timber. I mean, it's even the fact, you know, I've written a book, and books use paper, and that comes from trees. So it's kind of, there's that irony. So I had to sort of thank the trees for doing this. But usually it's from sustainable sources. So it's books are from trees that are planted specifically to make paper and so on. Rather than like old growth forests, which you would never cut down to make books or anything. It's actually more sustainable. Sustainable forests, Forestry England, for example, it's all about trees are more sustainable than as a resource than plastic. So they're just a better resource. But in terms of consumption, you know, there's things like eating less meat, you know, because lots of deforestation, and the reason why a lot of trees are cut down in the first place is for agriculture, for animals. And so therefore, I mean, I do eat meat, but I don't eat it as much as I used to. So I've just cut down by quite a lot. And also just checking things like whether they've got palm oil in them, checking, you know, we've got into the habit now a lot of the time of looking at ingredients and different things, so just checking for that. And yeah, doing things that, you know, moving to paperless options if you can, you know, unsubscribing from things if you can get the digital version sometimes, or lots of different things. So I've got all kinds of tips to do with what we can do to reciprocate and give back to trees, also how we can kind of connect and just appreciate them and boost our well-being as a result of spending time with them, really.
Yeah, I love it. If anyone is literally kind of tuned in and tuned into this and they didn't maybe catch the beginning and they're thinking, hold on a minute, have I got the right podcast?
Yeah.
Can you just sum up for us, you know, while we get back onto, you know, the topic that we all want to know about, which is how can we feel better? Just sum up for us then, again, sort of why and how tree connecting with trees and appreciating trees can be so beneficial for our mental health and well-being.
It's just they really calm us, they restore our energy, but also they restore our ability to think, our cognitive functioning is better, our concentration, our memory, probably the best thing of all that trees do is they really calm our nervous system, slow our heart rate, and give us this opportunity to feel calm. And we all know
that
is nourishing, and that makes us feel better. And also, when you feel that way, when you're calm, you're better able to problem solve. So if you have got loads of stuff going on and you're like, oh God, I don't have time to go out and spend some time with trees, I've got all these problems and all these things I'm doing, actually you'll be mentally better able to figure out solutions to problems or whatever you're worrying about if you go and spend time with trees. So it's definitely a worthy thing to do, to go down to the woods.
Yeah, brilliant. Cheryl, thank you so much. It's just a lovely, lovely book. I absolutely love it. I'm really looking forward to digging into all the little tips of how you can be more tree. I love that.
Thank you
so much for being my guest. It's Tree Glee, How My Trees Make Us Feel Better. Cheryl Rickman, I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Janie. It's brilliant.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'll put that link to the book in the show notes. Don't forget, if you would like some connection, if you'd like to up-level a bit, focus on optimum health and well-being, check out the Sober Club. It really is just it's a huge portal of good stuff, really. Whatever stage you're at, whether you're sober curious, just having a think, shall I do this, shan't I? Or whether you've been sober for years, there is so much in there for everyone and so much amazing connection. We do have an online course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, which is included. And we have all kinds of recommendations. We have some expert teachers. We have some videos. We obviously have regular meetups online as well. So please come and take a look if that's of interest. If you're already part of a community and you're not interested in being part of the Sober Club, but you'd like to support the podcast, that would be so welcome. Obviously, all of the costs associated with the podcast are ever increasing, and I don't want to have adverts popping up all the way through the podcast. That's been suggested to me, but I really would rather keep it ad-free. So I really like to be able to be across everything that's being talked about on the podcast. So if you would just like to support me on the podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Genuinely Grace. And mine's a flat white. Well, I don't think it works quite like that, but you know what I mean. So that would be really, really nice of you if you're interested in that. Don't forget, too, that we have various events happening. We're actually got a little bit of a gap now because of Christmas coming up. I'll be doing some online stuff. In fact, I'll definitely be doing an online, webinar, masterclass, whatever you call it, on prepping for Christmas, because I know that's such a big thing. And I know it's only November, but as I say, the trees are up, people are talking about it. Someone in our community the other day was saying that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she had this kind of craving for amaretti. It's like, oh my God, how am I going to cope with Christmas coming up when I'm already got that kind of, and it's the associations, isn't it? And we have these traditions and these associations that feel very strong. And of course, we recommended, well, get an alcohol-free version, keep the ritual, change the ingredients. I think you've heard me say that before. So we recommended that she go get a Lyres, you know, Lyres, if you haven't come across them before. 13 different spirits, might even be more than that now, an alcohol-free version. So there's always a way. But it is important to acknowledge these parts of our unconscious mind that want to keep traditions. Of course we do. We like ritual. We like traditions as adults. And if we don't get our little fix of those things, we start to feel deprived. And once we feel deprived, that's when, you know, the wine witch pops in and says, well, this is not good, is it? Everyone else is having their, you know, glass of whatever it is as they put their tree up, or they go and, you know, chat to other parents after the Christmas play, or whatever it is for you, whatever the associations are, make sure you've prepped ahead. And anyways, I'll be doing a masterclass or webinar, something on prepping for Christmas. And obviously I'll do something at the beginning of New Year as well. So there'll definitely be some online stuff. But in terms of physical events, there'll be nothing till January, and then we'll put in place. I'm probably going to do a Christmas thing in London. I'll get that date sorted as soon as possible. Yeah. And then in January, we'll put in place a couple of other events, Sober by the Sea and a Family Constellations. Talking of family constellations, we do have an online one coming up. Very last minute, we did our constellation session on Sunday, which is just amazing. It's always incredible to see how people get such incredible shifts in stuff that's going on for them. But quite a few people are thinking about coming, but they're not in the UK. So we thought we'll put an online one on, just see how it goes. So we've pitched it for Friday the 18th of November at 8 p.m. So it's a late one, so that if you are in the US or Australia, it might work for you time-wise, just about. And it'll just be a couple of hours online. Of course, it's not quite the same as being in person, but it's very powerful. We have done online work before with constellations, and can be very powerful. So if you're interested, if you want to check that out, go to thesoberclub.com, and if you just click on the blog post there, click on blogs, and you'll see that info there. Or make sure you're on my list, and then I'll send you the info. Again, if you go to thesoberclub.com, I've got like a little PDF at the moment about how you can sleep well. I mean, who doesn't want to get good sleep, right? And wake up feeling good. And there are a few little tips and tricks you can put in place that might support that. So sign up for that little PDF, and then you'll be on my mailing list, and I'll let you know direct details if you're interested in some of our events. And just to mention, for the Sober Coach training, I know this is not everybody, but if that is something you might be interested in, that you want to add to your existing toolkit, if you're a coach or a practitioner or a therapist or a teacher, or if you just want to deepen your own understanding of alcohol and how we use it, and perhaps you're interested in focusing on doing some kind of work yourself helping to promote sobriety and working with other people at some point in the future. Our next Sober Coach training starts at the end of January 23, so it's 27th and 28th of January in person in the UK, and that's followed by some weeks online and then ongoing mentoring and support. So it's quite unique in that respect. And we only have, I think, a couple of places left now if you did want to attend in person. If you're working with us virtually, there's a few places, but if you want to attend in person, I can't remember if it's one or two spaces. So do contact me if you're interested. You know how to find me on social media, at Janie Lee Grace, and I'm easy to find, so check it out. And if you've got any suggestions for great podcast guests, I'd absolutely love to hear them. And also, you know, if you're starting out on this journey or you've got something going on, share it with somebody. Tell somebody. It's really important to tell somebody. Otherwise, your unconscious mind just goes off on a little tangent of, oh, well, I wasn't really committed. Nobody knows. I'll start tomorrow. I'll start next week. And who am I anyway? I'm not worth it. You know, those kind of inner critic talks, those kind of spirals that we go down. So tell somebody. Drop me a message. Drop me an email and tell me what you're doing, and I'll be your cheerleader. It's always worth having someone on your side, right? Happy sobriety. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.